Anyway, maybe we could discuss it at rehearsal. We're still meeting today, right? Fuck. Hadn't remembered that. And I'm really not up for an afternoon with Morgan. Really, extremely, wholeheartedly not up for it. But I'm not a total dick. So at the end of the day, when Anna finds me at my locker, I follow without protest. Everyone's already in the music room when we get there. There's Nora, cross-legged on the floor, tuning her guitar. Taylor's on the floor too, in a butterfly yoga pose. And Morgan's planted stiffly in a plastic blue chair. She stares at her knees when I walk into the room. Well, Anna says slowly, we're all here. I scoot near the piano, scrunching my legs up in front of me. Nora bites her lip, eyes drifting from Morgan to me. No one speaks. Anna shakes her head. Okay, y'all want to do the whole awkward silence thing? Fine. Get it out of your system. She pulls out her phone. 5 minutes. Go. What, you're timing us? 4 minutes and 48 seconds. Anna holds up her phone. This is ridiculous, Morgan mutters. Anna nods shortly. I agree. You guys are being ridiculous. Are you serious? 4 minutes and 19 seconds. I blink. Wow. So Morgan says something blatantly racist. I call her out on it, but somehow we're both equally ridiculous. Just some silly girl drama. Leah, you're overreacting and you know it. It was one stupid comment, says Anna. One racist comment. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Morgan wince. Yeah, don't lecture me about racism, Anna says. My whole body clenches. You know what? I don't even know if I want to be in the band anymore. Oh, come on, Anna rolls her eyes. Because of Morgan? I shrug, cheeks burning. So you're telling me, Anna says, that you're throwing away a year of work and collaboration and everything because of one comment. Anna's looking at me like I just choked a puppy. Nora and Taylor are silent, and I don't dare look at Morgan. I stare down at the floor. I'm just... like, you're mad, I get it, but holy shit, quitting the band? It's not like the band's going to last forever. I laugh, but it comes out flat. We graduate in less than 3 months. And in that moment, for a split second, I feel it. How short that is. How soon everything changes. It's strange, because goodbyes are a thing I can understand intellectually, but they almost never feel real. Which makes it hard to brace for impact. I don't know how to miss people when they're standing right in front of me. Look, we had a good run. A lump rises in my throat. But you can't force this. I'm not okay making music with... Anna's phone alarm rings, making all of us jump. Then Morgan stands. You know what? Let's just do it this way. I'm the fuck up. I'm the one who ruined the band. Her voice breaks. So clearly, I'm the one who should leave. Anna sighs. Morgan, come on. No. It's cool. I know when I'm not wanted. I'm super used to it. She swipes the corners of her eyes with her fingers. Then she scrunches up her mouth and walks swiftly to the door, slamming it shut behind her. Wow. Hope you're happy, says Anna. Okay, can you stop? Nora says, whirling to face her. This isn't Leah's fault. Anna opens her mouth to reply, but Taylor cuts her off. Okay, can someone please explain to me what just happened? We all look at her. Taylor looks perplexed. Morgan just quit the band? Apparently, Anna says. Okay. Taylor pauses, pressing her lips together. You can almost see her mind whirring. Wow. So, I guess we need a fifth person. Jesus. Taylor, we're not letting Nick in the band. Okay, but Nick isn't even a keyboardist, Nora says.
No, he's not, confirms Nick. And my head whips toward the doorway. He's standing, flanked by Bram and Garrett, all in soccer shorts. And then there's Abby in gym clothes. I'm a little caught off guard. I didn't even hear them come in.
Taylor beams. What are you guys doing here?
Well, Bram says, I have a favor to-
Wait.
Garrett interjects, smiling almost sheepishly. Did you just say you need a keyboardist?
You're a keyboardist? Asks Taylor.
Well, I'm a pianist.
Nora gapes at him.
Excuse me?
Garrett laughs.
A pianist, he enunciates, sauntering into the music room. He sinks down next to me and grins. A pianist with a... Yeah, we get it, I say. We do need a pianist, Taylor says slowly. Morgan just quit the band. What, really? Says Garrett. Yeah, because Leah was being a dick again, Anna mutters. Oh. Garrett glances nervously between Anna and me. This is about the UGA thing? You mean the fact that Morgan thought I got in because I'm black? Abby says. She doesn't actually think that, Anna blushes. No one thinks that. Abby snorts. You'd be surprised. And then no one speaks for what feels like an hour. Finally, Taylor turns to Bram. What's your favor? Right. Bram shoots her a tiny smile, shutting the door gently behind him. So, I think I've got my promposal figured out. What? Oh my God! Taylor exclaims. You're promposing to Simon? He nods slightly, and she emits a joyful squeak. But I need you guys. Nora, you especially. He's giving you a ride tomorrow, right? To school? Nora nods. Yeah. Do you think it would be possible to get him down here at exactly 8:15? You're promposing to him in the music room? I ask. Yes. Hopefully. And actually, I have a question for you, too. Hit it, I say, peeking over his shoulder, where Nick's settled onto the floor beside Taylor. It's hard to know what to make of that. Maybe it means he hasn't made up with Abby. Not that I care. It's just weird. Bram bites his lip. Do you think I could borrow that drum kit? 11. The tricky part is the timing. Getting Simon to school by 8:15 is easy. Getting him there at exactly 8:15 takes a little more finesse. Thank God Nora talked me into spending the night, because who knew Simon Spear was so aggressively punctual in the mornings. It's taking all our combined efforts to stall him. You guys! Simon bellows up the stairs at 7:44. Come on, let's go! Just a minute! Nora yells back. What are you guys even doing up there? Nora pokes her head out into the hallway. Dude, cool your jets. Is he always this excited about school? I mutter. Nora rolls her eyes. Yeah, he likes to do homework in the mornings with Bram. Homework, I say with air quotes. Exactly. Simon clambers up the stairs and hovers in Nora's doorway. Guys, we're going to be late. No, we're not. Nora calmly latches her guitar case. You just want to get there early to see your boyfriend. Simon huffs. I have homework. Come on, we're leaving. He grabs Nora's backpack. Wait, Nora says. Simon looks exasperated, but Nora just shrugs. I think I'm wearing two left socks. No, no, you're not. That's not a thing, says Simon. Let's go. Then he hoists the backpack onto his shoulder, already tugging his keys out of his pocket. I swear to God, that clueless little peanut. It's like he's determined to ruin his own promposal. Nora and I exchange wry glances as soon as he leaves the room. It's fine. We can stall him in the parking lot. She grabs her guitar case. The Spears live 5 minutes from school. I think they can technically walk there. Simon pulls into the senior lot and checks his phone as soon as the car's off. I check the clock on the dashboard. 7:57. Actually, I need advice, I blurt. It's a foolproof question. Simon loves being needed. And sure enough, his whole face lights up. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Let me just text Bram. Okay, what's up? He turns all the way around to face me. It's about Garrett, I say, leaning forward between the seats. 10 minutes later, Simon's talking in circles. So you just no-showed? He asks. I shrug sheepishly. Yeah. But Garrett thinks you went to the game. I nod. Leah! Am I the worst person? Well, no, says Simon. That would be Voldemort. But I'm close, right? Like, Voldemort is here. I level my hand up, almost to the roof of the car. And I'm here. I drop my hand a few inches. And then the next worst guy is down here. Like, the dentist who killed that lion. He's right here. Nora laughs. Wow. You have to tell him, says Simon. My stomach drops. You think? Yeah, he nods. You should be honest. Just explain what happened, you know? Garrett's a really nice guy. He'll totally understand. Simon rubs his cheek, pondering this. Or, you could say you got sick. Okay, that actually sounds more plausible. You could just be like, hey, I was about to leave, but then I got really, really sick and I couldn't even check my phone. The corners of my mouth tug upward. So I should be honest, but also lie. Yes, Simon says. Simon, I could tell him for you. I could hint that you had really bad diarrhea and were too embarrassed to mention it. Garrett, of all people, would definitely understand that. Simon snickers. I am not telling Garrett I had diarrhea. Right, I'll tell him. I will hurt you. Me too, Nora says. Why are girls so violent? Asks Simon. I don't even respond. I just side-eye him to hell. Maybe you shouldn't mention it, Simon says a moment later. He'll probably just forget about the whole thing. So now you're saying she shouldn't say anything? Nora asks. Definitely not. He nods firmly. So I should definitely tell the truth, and definitely lie, and also definitely avoid the conversation altogether. Thank you for this classic Simon wisdom. Hey, so what do you think of Garrett? Simon asks slyly. Oh, hey, well, you look at that. It's almost 8:15, I say. Already my hands on the door. Now I just have to get Simon to the music room. I could ask him to watch me drum. Is that weird? I don't think he'd suspect anything, but what if he's just like, nah. Then it's basically game over. Unless I want to seem pushy and obsessed. But I can't let Bram down, so... I have to go to the bathroom. Here. Nora shoves her guitar case at Simon and hurries into school. Diarrhea, Simon says, nodding sagely. He glances down at the guitar case. What do I do with this? Nora, you fucking hero. We could drop it off in the music room, I say, with the most casual shrug I can muster. The entire music room is lit up with Christmas lights. In March. And Simon doesn't even notice. Someone left your drum kit out, he remarks, setting Nora's guitar beside it. It's not actually my drum kit. I glance at the storage closet before turning back to Simon. Anyone can use it. Really? His whole face lights up. Totally, I nod. You should try it. Simon settles onto the stool, looking like a toddler about to fly an airplane. I bring him some drumsticks, and he peers up at me, beaming. I've seriously always wanted to do this. Really? He nods. So do I just... I glance at the storage closet again, biting back a giggle. Just go for it. Bang it. As soon as he does, I hit record on my phone. There's a loud rustle from the storage closet, followed by a soft chime of music. What was that? Asks Simon. Someone cranks up the volume, and the storage closet bursts open, revealing Bram, holding a hairbrush. Oh, I don't want a lot for Christmas. I step hurriedly back to catch the reaction shot. Simon's perched on the drum stool, hands over his mouth, eyes saucer wide. The music speeds up, and Bram takes a step closer. And then Garrett, Nick, and Abby rush up behind him. And it's a revelation. Abby and the guys wag their fingers and throw their arms up, letting them shimmy down slowly, while Bram flawlessly lip-syncs into the hairbrush, a single word centered boldly on his chest in black stick-on letters. Joaquin. Meanwhile, Simon's at the drum kit, quietly losing his shit. I don't even know where to look. It's too goddamn wonderful. Simon's fanfiction dream come to life. I can't believe Bram thought of this. I can't believe they're pulling it off. Of course, Abby's the real professional, hitting every cue and grinning like she's on Broadway. Nick plays it tongue-in-cheek, smiling self-consciously. It's funny, they seem totally normal with each other. Watching them, you'd think they'd never fought in their lives. Garrett, though. Total hot mess. Limbs everywhere, hopping sideways on one foot. He's definitely almost fallen over twice. When the song ends, Bram points straight at Simon, smiling breathlessly. Simon Spear, will you go to prom with me? Simon nods and jumps up to hug him, laughing so hard he can barely speak. I hate you so much. Oh my God. Yes, he says, cupping Bram's face. Then he gives him a giant, swoony movie kiss. Garrett whoops, and Simon flips him off over Bram's shoulder. "I can't believe you guys," Simon says when he resurfaces. He pokes Bram in the chest, grinning. "Joaquin." Bram smiles. "Like, how did you even find that?" "It was a team effort," Bram says. "I hate all of you so much." Abby appears beside me out of nowhere. "That was so epic," she murmurs. "I can't even handle it." She smiles faintly. "I know." And then my mouth disconnects from my brain. It's the only explanation. Because I'm saying it, I'm just going for it. "So, you've probably made other plans or whatever, but..." It dies in my throat. "Why the hell is this so hard? Are you asking me to prom, Leah Burke?" "Yes," I say flatly. "We're literally standing 5 feet away from your boyfriend, and I'm asking you to prom." She raises her eyebrows, like she can't decide if I'm kidding. So that's a 12 out of 10 on the awkward scale. Do I really have to clarify that I'm not asking Abby to prom? "I'm not asking you to prom, Abby." "Oh well." My cheeks flush. For a minute, neither of us speaks. "Okay, but seriously," I say finally, "this road trip thing." Abby gasps. "Are you saying that you want a road trip to Athens?" I shrug. "I mean, if you're still up for it." "Am I up for it?" She yells, flinging her arms around me, and I feel it in my stomach, like a tiny, buzzing cell phone. 12. So, prom fever is a thing. Literally all Simon wants to do now is watch the promposal video over and over. He even texted it to his mom. And Nick and Abby are back to their obnoxiously happy normal, holding hands in English class and discussing corsages over lunch. It's like a looming apocalypse, but with formal wear. And then there's Garrett, who keeps watching me with this weird, twinkly expression. I catch Bram at his locker on Thursday and make him tell it to me straight. "Is Garrett going to prompose to me?" Says Bram. "Please tell me he's not planning something public." God, I'll die. I just can't. It's not like I have issues with Garrett. Honestly, I wouldn't even mind going to prom with him. But public promposals are my actual worst nightmare. This stuff is awkward enough without the audience. Seriously, I need to know. "Well?" Bram bites his lip. "Got it." I grimace. "So, like, when is this happening?" "Lunch," he says. "Do you want me to..." I pat him on the shoulder. "I'll handle it." "I mean, yeah. I'll go to prom with Garrett. I don't care. We'll go as friends. As buds. As bros. It will be fun. We'll take some god-awful staircase pictures, and hopefully I won't stab him with a corsage pin. Accidentally, probably." I find him camped out in the library. "Hey, can we talk?" He peers up at me in surprise. "Yeah, what's up?" Privately. He follows me over to the magazine racks, and I don't even hesitate. "Okay, here's the thing. I know what you're planning." His eyebrows shoot up. "What?" "Listen, I'll go to prom with you, okay?" His jaw drops. I blush. "If you want. I mean, we don't..." "Yeah, Burke. Yeah, I want to," he says slowly. "Let's..." "But, you're kind of stealing my thunder here." "Yes," I roll my eyes. "That's kind of the point. You don't want my thunder? Literally not even a little bit. But," he rubs his forehead, face breaking into a smile, "you'll go to prom with me? For real?" "Sure." "Dude," he beams, and he wraps me in a bear hug, and it's actually sort of sweet. This kid, this blue-eyed boy who calls me by my last name and never shuts up. My prom date. That actually happened. I just asked a boy out. Or he asked me. I guess we asked each other. Anyway, it's done, and I did it, and I guess I'm going to prom. With a date. I'm an actual high school cliche. A part of me feels like I should announce this. In fact, people do announce this shit on the Creek Secrets Tumblr. There's even a list of prom couples, kept up to date in the notes section. I guess it's to save people from those excruciating Harry asking Cho to the Yule Ball situations. Though, let's be real. If Katie Leung sweetly rejecting Daniel Radcliffe in a Scottish accent wasn't your sexual awakening, I don't even want to know you. I just wish I knew how to feel about Garrett. This shouldn't be so complicated. It has to be easier for people with penises. Does this person get you hard? Yes? Done. I used to think boners literally pointed in the direction of the person you're attracted to, like a compass. That would be helpful. Mortifying as fuck, but at least it would clarify things. I'm home before Mom. There's a note on the fridge that says to call her at work when I get there. And out of nowhere, I remember a thing Abby told me right after she moved here. Her dad was still in D.C. at the time, and I guess he thought Shady Creek was some drug-fueled bacchanalia fuckland, because he didn't want Abby to go anywhere after dark. He used to call her on the house phone to make sure she was really there. Foolproof dad maneuver, except for the part where Abby forwarded all her landline calls to her cell. Not that I'm randomly thinking of Abby Suso again. I sink onto the couch and dial Mom's office number. She picks up on the first ring. How come you didn't tell me there was a promposal video? I grin. Who told you? Alice Spear shared it from Simon's Facebook. God, you have to love how my mom isn't friends with my friend's parents. She's friends with their siblings. I need details, Mom says. So I tell her everything. Or I try to. I'm not sure it's possible to put into words what it looks like when Garrett dances. And, okay, I guess I should tell her about Garrett asking me to prom. I'm almost scared of how happy it will make her. She has a thing about school dances. She went to all of them, even as a freshman, even junior prom when she was 4.5 months pregnant. She has this theory that every teen movie should end in a prom scene. I think every teen movie does end in a prom scene, I told her. She thinks it's romantic. She explained it to me once. It's this night where all the usual drama gets suspended. Everyone looks different, and everyone's a little more generous with each other. I remember she paused after she said that, and for one horrible moment, I thought that might be a euphemism. But then Mom added softly, I remember the feeling like it was okay to care, to not be so blasé. There's something really earnest about school dances. I'd never known how to respond to that. Cool, Mom. Glad that worked out for you. I don't know. Maybe some of us like being blasé. I squeeze my eyes shut, already dreading this. So I ask Garrett to prom. My mom gasps, Leah! And it's not a big deal, okay? It's just Garrett. It's not a thing. We're just going as friends. Uh-huh, she says. I can actually hear her smiling. Mom, I'm just wondering, does Garrett know you're going as friends? Mom, yes. Except, shit, I don't know. I mean, I think we're going as friends. No one said it was a romantic thing, but maybe prom is romantic by default? Is this a thing I have to specify? Can ambiguous social situations kindly go fuck themselves? Of course, as soon as I hang up, there's a text waiting for me from Garrett. So I'll talk to Greenfeld and we can figure out limo and dinner and everything. Prom's going to be so baller this year, I can't wait. Garrett saying baller. Now my mind can't unhear it. By Friday, Creekwood High School's collective prom fever has morphed into college fever. I swear to God, there's nothing more toxic than a suburban high school in March. The halls look like a screenshot from College Jeopardy. Humble brag t-shirts hitting you from every direction. It's like the entire school turned into Taylor overnight. Anna got into Duke. Morgan got into Georgia Southern. Simon and Nick both got into Wesleyan and Haverford, and both got rejected from the University of Virginia. Abby had looked at them incredulously when she heard that. Are you literally the same person? They just know we're a package deal, Simon said. That's super weird, said Abby. Also, our lunch table is a war zone, but it's the silent kind of war zone. Morgan and I stake out opposite ends of the table, communicating only in glares. But it's not just us. Abby and Nick are low-key fighting again, too. And then there's Simon in the middle, glancing back and forth like we're a street he has to cross. I don't think I've ever met a person so nervously attuned to conflict. Garrett, on the other hand, is perfectly oblivious. He sinks into the chair across from me next to Abby and grins. Okay, ladies, I need your help. He gestures around the table. I'm in charge of making the dinner reservation for all of these beautiful people on prom night, so now I'm taking requests. Maybe something near the venue? Abby says distantly. Something cheap, I add. Garrett beams at me. Well, that is not something for you to worry about, Burke. I believe your meal is covered. Okay, I blush. Thanks. Abby turns to face me, suddenly. Wait, are you guys going to prom together? Yup, Garrett says. I nod, looking down. Are you serious? How did I not know this? Garrett pretends to gasp. She didn't tell you? No, she didn't, Abby says. She's still looking at me. I mean, was I supposed to call her? Did I somehow miss the moment when that became an expectation? I don't get her. I don't. Everyone thinks Abby's so fun and sweet and bubbly, but she's actually the most confusing girl in the universe. I glance up at her, and she looks right in my eyes. I can't read her expression. Anyway, she says, we should figure out spring break. What's happening over spring break? Garrett asks. Abby's eyes flick sideways. Oh, nothing. Only the greatest road trip in the history of road trips. It's weird. Her voice is perfectly calm, but something sparks in her eyes like she's issuing a challenge. To Garrett or me? I have no earthly idea. I'm pretty flexible, I say slowly. Good. Me too. God, I'm so ready for this. I'm so ready for college. Oh, you guys are visiting UGA? Asks Garrett. Yup, Abby says, sliding her hand across the table, palm up, like she wants me to high-five it. So I do. And she threads our fingers together. Right here at the lunch table. I don't even know what's happening. You know what they say, Abby murmurs, glancing sideways at Garrett. What happens in Athens stays in Athens. Garrett raises his eyebrows, grinning. Say no more. And suddenly, I'm pissed. No, actually, I'm furious. I tug my hand away from Abby's and scoot my chair out abruptly. Wait, what just happened? Simon asks. When I'm mad, I escape. It's what I do. I stalk out of rooms and storm down hallways and disappear into bathroom stalls. Because if I stay, I'll lose my shit at someone. I will. I swear to God. I don't even know who I'm more pissed at. Abby for teasing me. Garrett for making it about him every fucking time. Because that's why bi girls exist, Garrett, for your masturbatory fantasies. I want to scream in his face. Dude, if you like me, if you actually like me, then be jealous, be worried, be something. If this were Nick flirting with me, Garrett would think, whoa, competition. But because it's Abby, it doesn't mean anything. It's like it doesn't count. Not that Abby was flirting with me. She probably wasn't. Definitely wasn't. And I definitely don't care. 13. I feel like you're mad at me, Garrett texts me after school. About the Abby thing. I'm sorry, Burke. I was honestly joking, but I'll stop for real. I'm sorry. I stare at the screen. I don't know where to begin. I mean, how do I call him out if he doesn't even know I'm bi? I sink into the couch, feeling suddenly exhausted. It's fine. Just promise me you'll stop being a dick, okay? I promise, he responds immediately, smiley face and all. So, we're cool? We're cool. Except I'm the opposite of cool. All weekend, I'm uneasy. Because Garrett actually apologized, but Abby didn't. Not that she would. I just don't get her. I don't get what she's doing. And it's not even the what happens in Athens comment. That can mean anything. It could mean frat boys and keg stands and hetero trash for days. But the look on Abby's face when I said I was going to prom with Garrett? How surprised she seemed that I hadn't told her? But why would I tell her? She has a boyfriend. So what if they're fighting? She has a boyfriend. Therefore, none of this matters and prom can go fuck itself. Of course, my mom is totally high on prom hype. She takes 2 hours of leave time on Wednesday to pick me up right after school. Hop in. We're going dress shopping. I look at her. Do we have to? Yes, ma'am, because you're going to prom. She gives it a solid 2 syllables. I'm so excited right now. It's like we're from 2 different planets. Every once in a while, it hits me. If I knew my mom in high school, I don't think we'd have been friends. It's not like she was an asshole in high school. She was kind of like Abby. In every play, at every party, perfect grades. She always had a boyfriend, usually a soccer player with really defined abs. But sometimes she dated nerdy guys or musicians like my dad, who apparently used to smoke a lot of pot. I guess it didn't lower his sperm count. You know, the last time we went prom dress shopping together, you were on the inside. Ha ha. My little prom fetus. Gross. It's beautiful. You're beautiful. She pulls into the mall parking deck and finds a spot near the elevator. My mom has charmed luck with parking spaces. It's essentially her superpower. And you have a date. Yeah, with Garrett. Garrett's so adorable, though. She pauses to grin at me. Okay, so here we are. Where's formal wear? Department stores are like diners. No focus. Too many options. I feel overwhelmed just being here. Mom pauses by an escalator, examining the store map. Aha! Upstairs. I follow her onto the escalator. So, what's typical these days? When I was in high school, everyone wore floor length, but I hear that's not a thing anymore. It's not? I swallow. Or maybe I'm thinking of homecoming. I don't know. Oh, here we go. Racks and racks of dresses. I don't think I've ever seen so much satin in my life. They're all electric bright and strapless and loaded with sparkles. I don't own anything like this. I have nothing close to prom appropriate. I've skipped every single dance since we grew out of bar mitzvahs, which was clearly the right decision because these dresses are trash and prom is stupid anyway. Except it doesn't feel stupid. It makes me cringe to admit this, but I want the whole prom thing. The dress, the limo, all of it. It actually hurts imagining prom happening without me. Me, alone in my pajamas, spending the whole night trolling Instagram and Snapchat, watching everything unfold virtually, seeing once and for all how little I'm missed. Mom starts pushing through hangers, pinching fabric between her fingertips, and peeking at size tags. These are kind of cool, Lee. I'm digging the two-piece. Are you joking? It's like a skirt and a top. It's different. I like it. She shakes her head. Stop making that face. My hand grazes a dress. Intricately beaded bodice. Voluminous taffeta skirt. It's the actual worst. But it's also weirdly gorgeous. I can't stop running my hands along the fabric. Okay, it's silly, but I've always wanted one of those holy shit teen movie moments. Like when the skinny nerd girl walks downstairs in her red dress. Or Hermione at the Yule Ball. Or even Sandy in her tight pants at the end of Grease. I want to surprise everyone. I want everyone I've ever liked to wish they hadn't missed their chance. That's cute, Mom says, carefully, without looking at me like I'm a deer she's trying not to spook. It's extremely annoying. Not really, I say. Why don't you try it on? Nothing to lose, right? Except my dignity. And my flawless 18-year streak of not wearing hideous train wreck ball gowns. So, here's the thing about me. I'm stubborn. I'll admit that. But I always underestimate how stubborn Mom is, too. She's never a bitch about it like I am. But she can be very persistent. Which is how, 20 minutes later, I'm in a dressing room wearing that taffeta shit show of a gown. Biggest size on the rack, and it doesn't even zip. My back feels goose-prickled and naked. And when I glance into the mirror, I want to throw up. The skirt balloons around my hips and hangs straight past my ankles. This may be the worst idea Mom's ever had. How's it going in there? Mom's hovering outside the door to my dressing room. I want to see. Yeah, that's not happening. This is the ball gown, right? That color's going to look amazing with your hair. Trust me. It's hideous. I'm sure it's not hideous. No, I mean it's an actual dumpster fire. Wow, okay. Tell me how you really feel. She laughs. On to the next. I'm already rolling my eyes as I wrestle myself into a purple chiffon nightmare. It's a bigger size, so it actually zips. But it stretches tightly over my hips and almost molds itself around my stomach. I know that sounds awful, but it's not. It's sort of wonderfully unapologetic. But the dress itself is a steaming piece of matronly garbage, and I'm not showing up at prom looking like someone's grandma. Any luck? Mom asks. I laugh harshly. Someone gasps in the next dressing room. Jenna! Oh my God, I love it! You don't think it makes my arms look fat? What? Shut up. You're not fat. You look amazing. My whole body tenses. The only thing worse than trying on dresses is hearing a bunch of skinny girls trying on dresses next door, listening to them pick at themselves. It's like it doesn't even matter if I like my body, because there's always someone there to remind me I shouldn't. You're not fat. You look amazing. Because fat is the opposite of amazing. Got it. Thanks, Jenna's friend. Should I try the size 4, or will that just be huge? Jenna asks. Jesus Christ. But Mom presses onward, and I snap back to Earth. Did you try on the yellow one? I mean, it's barely yellow. More like pale yellow gold. And it's printed with bright, multicolored flowers, tiny on the bodice, growing bigger toward the edge of the skirt. I hate yellow. And florals. I should hate the crap out of this dress. But I can't explain it. It's just so badass. No one wears a floral prom dress. It's sort of fitted with a sweetheart neckline, and I guess the skirt is really an A-line, but there's a layer of white tulle underneath. I don't know. I fucking love it. I'm sure it won't fit me. I'm sure it was made for a girl like Jenna from the next dressing room, whom I'm definitely picturing as Zoe Deutsch. No question, this dress would look amazing on Zoe Deutsch. But I guess I'll try it anyway. I unzip it, stepping carefully into the skirt and tugging it up over my hips. It's strange wearing a dress like this on a Wednesday afternoon with my TARDIS socks poking at the bottom. It's strange wearing this dress, period. It zips. That's a start. Though I'm pretty sure I'm going to look like a douchebag with my bra straps poking out. I stare at my feet. I don't want to look at the mirror. Better just to imagine the dress looks amazing. What do you think? Mom asks. Deep breath. I look up. It takes a moment to adjust to the image of me in the dress. Me in yellow. I press my hands to my thighs and just stare. It's not awful. The bra straps look ridiculous. But I kind of like the way the skirt hangs, skimming my hips and grazing the floor. I think I could actually wear this. I don't know if I've achieved holy shit levels of boner inspiration, but still, it's the prettiest I've ever felt. I crack the door open and peek out, and Mom whips her head up. Do I get to see this one? I shrug and step out slowly, feeling like I'm on a stage. Mom doesn't say a word. Maybe she's holding back tears. Maybe she's rocked by the transformation. I think I look different. Maybe older. My hair looks really red. I fidget with the satin on my skirt. Mom tilts her head to the side. Eh, she says finally. I don't like it. I deflate. Oh. I think it overpowers you. It's just kind of loud. Wow, okay. I actually liked this one. Really? Mom's brow wrinkles. I mean, it's not bad, but I don't think it's the one, Lee. Of course you don't. My chest feels squeezy tight. She looks stricken. What's that supposed to mean? I full force glare at her, trying not to cry. I don't even have an answer for that. I don't know what I mean. I just know I feel like shit and I hate everyone in the entire world. I shake my head. I'm over this. Leah, come on. Where's this coming from? I laugh without smiling. I didn't even know that was possible. I'm just done, and this is stupid. I push back into the dressing room, leaving Mom gaping outside the door. She sighs loudly. Seriously? I unzip the dress and step out of it, draping it over the hook on the wall. I swear to God, it's staring at me. I tug my jeans up quickly. Meanwhile, my mom's still trying to talk to me. Leah, if you love that one, let's get it. I love it too. I crack the door open and stare her down. No, you don't. Yes, I do. It's really pretty. And you know, I actually think it will look perfect once we style your hair. I'm serious. It's whatever. Can I see it again? I'm already dressed. Okay, then let's just get it. I'll pay for it right now. And as soon as she says that, I realize I have no idea how much the dress costs. I never thought to look, which really isn't like me. I peek at the tag, heat rising in my cheeks. It's $250. Mom pauses. Don't worry about it.
What?
I inhale sharply. We can't afford that.
It's fine, sweetie. It's not a problem.
What, are you going to rob a bank or something? Or are we using Wells' money? My stomach coils tightly at the thought.
Leah, don't you dare give me that look.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to hear it,
she snaps. It seems to echo off the ceiling. There's this pit in my stomach. Neither of us speaks.
You don't even like the dress, I say finally.
Leah, I do like the dress.
She closes her eyes briefly.
And this is something I'd like to do for you. This doesn't have to be complicated.
Are you serious?
You know, I'm curious, Leah. What was your plan for paying for a prom dress? Enlighten me.
I don't even know what to say. Obviously, I have no clue. I can't afford a $250 dress. I can't afford a $50 dress.
And maybe I could have found something secondhand, but those places never have bigger than size 2,
which is just about big enough for one of my legs.
For one excruciating minute, no one speaks. Even Jenna and her friend next door have gone silent.
I don't care about the dress, I say softly.
Mom rubs her forehead.
Leah, I just want to go home.
Fine. All the way to the car, we're silent, but my mind's tumbling in every direction.
This doesn't have to be complicated.
Right. Imagine if it weren't. Imagine if I were Jenna. OMG, my arms look fat, Jenna. Girls like Jenna step out of dressing rooms and people gasp and applaud. I'm sure she carries her parents' credit card. Her parents, who are married and 45 and not dating random dudes with plural names.
Sweetie, I'm sorry.
Mom pulls into our driveway, setting the car in park. I really like the dress. I had no idea you loved it so much.
I don't.
It comes out shaky. Mom pauses. Okay. I don't even want to go to prom.
Leah.
Mom shakes her head. You've got to stop doing this.
Doing what?
Burning everything to the ground whenever something goes wrong. For a minute, it hangs there. I don't know what to say. I don't do that. I don't think I do that.
You know what I want for you?
Mom says finally. She smiles, almost wistfully. I want you to let things be imperfect.
Okay, I frown. But I do.
No, you don't.
You know?
You have a sucky time dress shopping, and you're ready to call off prom. You wouldn't try out for the play because you're not the best actress in the universe.
I'm the worst actress in the universe.
Mom laughs.
But you're not.
Not at all.
You just want to be the best.
And you have to let that go.
Embrace the suck. Let your guts hang out a little.
Yeah, that's a fucking joke. Let your guts hang out? I don't even get that. Why would anyone want to live like that? Like it isn't bad enough I'm always one breath away from falling apart. I'm supposed to fall apart under a spotlight?
It's too much.
And I don't want to embrace the suck. I want things to not suck. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
14.
I spend Thursday floating through classes in a fog. I barely say a word at lunch, and I don't linger after the bell rings. I don't look for Simon and Nick on Friday morning. I don't lurk by the lockers. I just duck into the library, staking claim to a computer, typing without thinking. Simon finds me anyway.
Oh, hey, what are you working on?
He scoots a chair next to me. The Treaty of Vienna.
Amazing, he says,
and I can actually hear him grinning. Okay, why are you so cheery? I turn to face him, and my mouth falls open.
Simon!
His shirt. It's crisp and bright purple, totally plain except for 3 white letters. NYU. This isn't an April Fool's thing, right?
You got in?
I got in!
Simon!
I punch his arm.
Why didn't you text me?
I wanted to surprise you.
Does Bram know?
He beams, nodding.
Oh my God, Simon. You guys are going to be in New York together.
I know.
You're going to live in New York.
That's so weird, right? He rolls his chair closer. Then he exhales and laughs all at once, eyes bright behind his glasses.
I mean, you're literally going to be right in Manhattan. I can't even process this.
I know.
Do you realize that living in New York is like one step away from being famous? I say.
Right.
I'm serious. You better not forget about me.
I'm going to stalk you online 1,000 times a day. That seems like a good way to spend your time.
He laughs.
Whatever. You know we're going to visit you and Abby at Georgia, right?
Right.
I still can't believe you guys are road tripping together. If you guys end up as roommates, I swear to God.
I pause.
You swear to God what?
I don't know.
I swear to God I will smile approvingly.
Is that a threat?
He smiles.
I just really like the idea of you guys being friends.
Something tugs in my chest. I feel strangely offbeat.
I try to shake off the feeling.
So, are you still going on your college tour, or is that kind of moot now?
The first period bell rings, and Simon stands, tugging the straps of his backpack.
No, I'm going. My mom wants me to visit the last few schools before I make my choice.
He shrugs.
But whatever. It'll be fun.
Okay, I need to find Abby and switch our phones back.
You switched phones?
I fall into step beside him.
Why?
She's sending herself pictures. See?
He holds up Abby's phone with its rifle floral phone case. And sure enough, there's a massive text thread of photos. Mostly Simon and Abby, but I'm in a few of them too. To be honest, I didn't know some of these pictures existed. Like one of Abby, Bram, and me, half asleep on Mr. Wise's couch after the AP Lit exam last year. We're all shoeless, in t-shirts and pajama pants. Basically, exams happened, and everyone promptly stopped giving a shit. I kind of like how I look in the picture, though. My hair's loose and rumpled, and I'm literally yawning. But all three of us look soft-eyed and sleepy and happy.
She's going to make a collage for her future dorm room, Simon says.
I should do that.
He taps into her pictures.
I fall into step beside him as he swipes through them. I look so drunk in this one, he says. And then, a moment later, Nick needs to learn how to open his eyes in pictures. I peer at the screen and my stomach twists softly. It's just a random couple selfie, not even a new one, because it's clearly taken at play rehearsal. Classic Nick and Abby picture. Abby smiling sweetly with her head slightly tilted, and Nick looking like he just got punched.
I'm kind of worried about Nick and Abby, Simon says after a moment.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, they're not...
Wow, he says suddenly, holding up the phone. Did you draw this?
I freeze. It's beautiful, he adds, and my heart thuds in my chest.
Because... Okay. Holy shit. I can't seem to form words. I just stare at the phone.
Abby still has the picture. A year and a half later.
It's in her album of favorites. I don't know what that means, or if it even means anything. My mind's in a knot.
When did you draw that? Simon asks.
I feel my cheeks burn. Last year. Junior year. I'd come home from Morgan's sleepover, feeling too big for my skin. And no matter what I tried, I couldn't shake that feeling. So I pulled out my sketch pad and drew without a plan. Two girls on their stomachs, peering at a cell phone. All soft lines and curves and overlapping limbs. I colored us in with pencils. The brown of Abby's skin, the pink of my cheeks, the dark red of my hair. I drew like I was in a trance. It felt like I'd pinned my heart to the page. I should have tucked it away, but I guess I felt brave. We were in the courtyard when I showed her. I used to wait with her there after school when her bus was late. It was September 19th, a Friday, the day before my birthday, and the air felt crisp and new. I hadn't even brought my sketchbook that day, but I'd taken a photo of the drawing on my phone.
You can't laugh, I told her.
She laughed as soon as I said that. I could barely sit still. My heart was beating so fast. I passed her my phone and then stared at my knees. She was quiet for a few excruciating moments, and then she turned to me at last.
Leah.
I looked up to find her staring at me, silent. Her mouth was twisted up at the corners. It's really rough, obviously.
I can't believe you drew that, she said.
It's... Wow. It's nothing. But it didn't feel like nothing. It felt like a love letter. It felt like a question. I'm just... She sighed. I love it so much. Leah, I'm going to cry.
Don't cry, I said. I was like an overinflated balloon, full of air and tension, both anchored and floating.
I'm glad you like it. I love it. She scooted closer. No one else was in the courtyard. She smelled like vanilla, and her eyelashes were like thick black parentheses. That was it. My brain only had room for those two facts.
Abby's waiting outside Ms. Livingstone's classroom, Simon's phone in hand. I can't look at her without blushing.
She still has my drawing. She kept it.
So, here's what I want to know, Abby says. How do you find time to take literally 316 selfies with Bieber? Simon scoffs. I make the time.
Apparently.
He makes a face at her. How do you have time to count my selfies?
I don't even know.
She grins, eyes cutting toward me.
Oh, and Leah.
She touches my elbow.
Yep.
We need to figure out road trip stuff. Were you going to ride the bus home today?
I nod carefully.
Okay, cool. She smiles. So, I've got my mom's car, and I was wondering if maybe we could do Wahoo after school. Then we can hammer out the plans, and I can drive you home afterward.
Yeah, I swallow.
Sure. Yay! All right, I have to get to Calc, but okay, great. I'll meet you outside the atrium.
I nod, feeling dazed. I feel Simon studying my face, lips pursed like he's about to ask me something.
God, I don't want to talk about the drawing. Or Abby. Or the most pointless crush I've ever had. I mean, Simon doesn't even know I'm bisexual. But he keeps looking at me with his thinker face. Nose wrinkled like a bunny's. The weird part is, it should be easy to tell him this. Simon, of all people. It's just that my heart and lungs and pulse don't seem to realize this.
Leah, he says softly.
I swallow the lump in my throat. He's quiet for a moment, and then he looks me straight in the eye. Do I take too many dog selfies?
See, now I don't know whether to laugh or choke.
7 hours later, I'm in Abby Suso's car. Her mom's car. Whatever. I'm in a tiny, enclosed space with Abby. Who's wearing a fucking sundress and tiny moonstone earrings. She hums as she backs out of her parking space. I feel breathless and unsteady.
So we're good to go on the apartment. We can have it whenever we want. My friend will just stay with her boyfriend.
Wow, that's really nice of her.
Right?
I've actually only met her once. She's actually my cousin's girlfriend's friend's sister.
I laugh.
What?
I know. It's ridiculous.
She pauses, adjusting the air conditioning.
She's my cousin Cassie's, girlfriend Mina's, friend Max's older sister, Caitlin.
And she's just giving us her apartment next week?
Abby nods, turning right on Mount Vernon Highway.
We can literally drive up tomorrow if we want.
Wow.
But I think we should do like Monday through Wednesday or something, so it won't be so crazy there. Unless you want to see what campus is like on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm good.
I lean back against the headrest. And Monday works. That's the 4th, right? Today's the 1st. My phone buzzes with a text from Simon.
Oh, my inner goddess has a question for you.
I stare at the screen. He's still typing.
Wait.
He types again. We aim to please, Miss Steele. And again. WTF, what's happening? I glance sideways at Abby. I think Simon's texting me quotes from 50 Shades of Grey.
Hmm, Abby says.
She gets these crinkles by her eyes sometimes, like old people get, but she makes them look young. Abby Suso is single-handedly reclaiming eye crinkles for our generation. Simon texts me again. I think someone hacked my virginity.
P-H-O-N-E, not my virginity.
Why does it say virginity when I type virginity?
I mean P-H-O-N-E.
Wait. I stare Abby down. Does this have something to do with you using Simon's phone this morning?
Abby shrugs, eyes wide.
I don't know. Does it?
Holy shit. You're a fucking genius, Suso. My phone buzzes insistently. Leah, why is this happening? I swear this isn't me. It's my subconscious. What? No, stop, he adds. It's my A-U-T-O-C-O-R-R-E-C-T. We aim to please, Miss Steele. How do I fix this? I burst out laughing. I'm screenshotting this. Abby's lips tug upward. This is why you don't lend your phone out on April Fool's Day, Simon. Abby Suso. Who knew she was so evil? I shake my head. I'm legit so impressed right now. Thank you. Sent you a screenshot, I say, as we pull into Waffle House. Yes. She turns off the car and taps into her text. And someone hacked his virginity. I'm dead. I rub my cheek, smiling. I don't even know how to respond to him, because it's too perfect. I want to frame these texts and put them in a museum. Abby smiles. I smile back. It's like my facial muscles have gone rogue. And now my heart's banging around my ribcage like a drunk, blindfolded bird. Yeah. I don't know why I decided a road trip was reasonable, because I can't even handle the Waffle House parking lot with this girl. I should have gotten a doctor's exemption. To whom it may concern, in my professional opinion, Leah Catherine Burke should be barred from any and all prolonged interactions with Abigail Nicole Suso, whose middle name she has absolutely no reason to know, but knows anyway. Of course I fucking know it. I trail a few steps behind her in the parking lot, feeling foggy. Thank God this girl could converse with a rock, because my brain isn't working. It just stopped out of nowhere, like a car stalled on the highway. She's searching for something on her phone. Abby gestures so much when she talks. Even now, even while actively Googling, she keeps waving her phone emphatically. Ah, okay, here we go, she says, tilting the screen toward me. I'm so excited about these. I think she's talking about prom shoes. I peer at the screen. Are these jellies? I ask finally. She beams. Yes! They're the classiest jellies I've ever seen. Crosshatched, clear ballet flats, infused with silver glitter. Kind of like what Cinderella would wear if she were a 6-year-old sucking a rocket pop by the neighborhood pool. They're really awesome, I say. I hate wearing heels. I'm not doing it. I need to be able to dance. A waiter stops by and is instantly spellbound by Abby. Like, she smiles and he's done for. It's kind of gross how fast that tends to happen. We both order waffles, but I'm 50% sure he'll only bring hers. I guess I should be used to this. The funny thing is, Abby doesn't even seem to notice. She looks at me, mouth quirked at the corners. So, you and Garrett? That's not a thing. Why not? Her eyes narrow. He definitely likes you. God, what do I even say to that? Maybe he does like me. Maybe Garrett and I should be a thing. I'd probably like kissing him. And I like being wanted. I like being the crushy for once. I mean, he's sweet. He's cute. And yes, he's annoying. But he's not a bad guy. I should like him. I want to like him. I change the subject. So, you and Nick. Me and Nick. She exhales. It comes out like a sigh. I wait for her to elaborate, but she doesn't. She just sits there. Then, a minute later, she smiles brightly and seems to snap back into herself. Anyway, I'm excited for our trip. I need to give you gas money. She shakes her head. Nope. My parents want to cover that. They don't have to do that. I'm telling you, they want to. My cheeks feel warm. I should pay for something. I mean, I hate not being able to pay for my shit. I'm already getting a ride and a free place to stay. I should cover gas. I know how this works. Of course, I can't actually afford to cover gas, because I can't make money without a job, and I can't get a job around here without a car, which is why I need a ride in the first place. I hate money stuff. I hate it. You're in charge of music, Abby says. Just make the most epic road trip playlist of all time. Okay, but I was going to make the second most epic playlist. I don't want the second most epic. That's not good enough, Leah. It's like someone squeezing my heart, just a little. One tiny pinch. It's the way she says my name. I'm Leah, and maybe strangers call me Leia, like Star Wars. But when Abby says it, it falls halfway between. It catches me off guard every single time.